Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, starting at chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before God under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So Eli went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So when I was 8 years old, a friend of mine and I went to the movie theater with his dad, and we went to go see The Empire Strikes Back. It was the spring of 1997, and the Star Wars special editions were making their rounds through movie theaters. And it was the first Star Wars film I had ever seen in its entirety. And if my parents, I think, had any notion that they would now have three Rubbermaid bins full of Star Wars stuff in their basement, I don't know if they ever would have let me go. It was this wholly new experience. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. I remember sitting there in the Sony Theater right down here in West Sleb, or on the Miracle Mile, and my feet sticking to the floor. And I remember seeing those blue letters appear on the screen a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then the first notes of John Williams' score started up, and the yellow letters started flying through space. "It is a dark time for the rebellion. Although the Death Star has been destroyed, Imperial troops have driven the rebel forces from their hidden base and pursued them across the galaxy." And I get giddy just thinking about it. And I actually wrote that down from memory. I didn't have to look it up. And in December of 2017, I sat in a movie theater to watch Star Wars: The Last Jedi. And sure enough, it began the same way a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And once again, there was that opening theme from John Williams, those opening notes that filled the theater, and there was those large yellow letters flying through space. And I know I was shaking with excitement like I was 8 again, because my wife Libby looked at me and laughed in disbelief that I was like holding on to my seat, going like, and I'd already done it a year before with The Force Awakens, so it just always happens. So regardless of which Star Wars movie I watch, there is something gripping and enthralling about that opening crawl and that music, and I will most likely have the same experience on December 20th of this year. And most of us, if not all of us, can hum that Star Wars theme, right? And we've seen the motif of yellow letters flying through space parodied in other things. But the crawl is more than an opening hook. That opening crawl plays an important role in Star Wars because each crawl tells you what has happened before the movie starts and what is happening in the grander scheme of things. Before we focus on Luke Skywalker and his journey, the opening crawl tells us that the story began long before our main character ever entered the scene. It gives us context for everything that we are about to watch. Our passage this morning is Samuel's first encounter with God. And it is very much the beginning of his specific individual relationship with God. And it's the beginning of Samuel's story, yet the story of God's relationship with Israel has been going on for generations. God has delivered them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt under the leadership of Moses. God has brought them to the promised land of Canaan under the military strategy of Joshua. And God has continued to lead them through various judges that God has lifted up. Samuel is being called into a long lineage of servant leaders. Not only that, he's being called into a pivotal moment in the history of God's people. Because Israel, at this time, is still in the process of claiming the promised land. Under Joshua, it was a partial conquest, and Samuel is being lifted up to help assist finishing the job. But God has not raised up any judges as of late, and the leadership that they do have is composed just of the priesthood of Eli and his two sons. And in the previous two chapters of 1 Samuel, if I thought I could have gotten away with it, I would have read all three chapters to you this morning. But in the previous two chapters, we get a description of Eli's sons. And what the writer of 1 Samuel wants to emphasize is that they are taking the fattiest portions of meat used in sacrifices to God for themselves. So they are taking the largest piece of the offering plate. They are stealing from God and from the community. And Eli's sons are also sleeping with the women who serve at the tabernacle. Just to bring it into 2019, Eli's sons are the church leaders who are having sexually inappropriate relationships with their female staff and volunteers. They're in positions of powers and perpetrators of sexual misconduct. The more things change, the more they stay the same. There is nothing new under the sun. Eli, in chapter 2, has rebuked his sons, but they don't listen. And God comes to Eli also, informing him that they're about to face a change in staff, and that Eli's sons will die for their transgressions, and that God is going to bring a new priest to fill that position. If Samuel's story had an opening crawl like Star Wars, it might read like this. It is a dark time for the nation of Israel, and every person is doing what is right in his or her own eyes. The priesthood has abandoned their duties. Eli's sons steal from God and their people and abuse their power for their own pleasure. Eli is unable to rein in their hedonism and villainy. The Lord has rejected Eli's family, and there is no leadership in the house of Israel. All while, the Philistines are waiting for the opportunity to crush Israel into the dust and remove them from the promised land completely. But all is not lost, for the Lord has promised not to abandon his people and to raise up a new leader and a renewed priesthood. If this were a movie, this is the point where the camera would pan down from where those yellow letters were flying through space, and it would move onto an arid desert landscape at night, and there'd be an elaborate tent structure of the tabernacle, and the camera would move in to where the lamp of God can be seen burning, and then continue to move past those windows and down into the center of the tent where there is a boy sleeping. Samuel is called into a specific point and place in history. He is called into a time of uncertainty, into a culture and society that is shifting. During Samuel's career as God's prophet and priest, Israel will demand a king like the other nations. They will move from a governing system of tribal leaders to a monarchy with dynastic succession. Like Israel, the church in our country today is in a place of transition. And some would say that we are in a place of crisis. I prefer the phrase transition. I prefer to say transition. Church attendance across most communities is down. And yes, each month it seems like I can find a new study about the changing religious demographics of the country. And uncertainty seems to be everywhere at best. But in each era of history, what has seemed like a crisis to the church of that era has really been a transition of new fruits around the corner. In the 16th century, the Protestant Reformation looked like a crisis. There were these weirdos, Luther and Calvin, throwing out 200 years of Roman Catholic tradition, but it was a transition. God in his providence is calling the body of Christ into this period of transition. So what are we as individuals and as a local church community supposed to do? And I think what the story of Samuel's call first teaches us is that we listen. We listen to hear God's call, and we strive to listen with fresh ears. Verse 7 says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, which is not a glowing endorsement of Eli's mentoring program. He is the high priest. It is very much his job. Samuel has been living in the tabernacle and learning under Eli, yet does not know God. Samuel has probably has a fair amount of book knowledge. He's probably studied a lot. He probably knows the Ten Commandments and the Exodus story and the Abraham story. But the writer of Samuel says that he does not know the Lord. So Samuel is coming to God with fresh ears. So it's no secret that I grew up here. I am a preacher's kid and a church kid, and I've done the church thing for a long time. And probably many of us here have also. For us, hearing God with fresh ears can be a challenge. We've done church a certain way for so long. And the more churches I'm in, the more I realize that each church community, as different as their worship styles look, they all love that same worship style because that's the way that they've always done it. That said, I would not want to change the worship style here. That's my footnote to this. But we become very married to certain traditions because that's the way it has and it must be done. And there are others of us where we're just jaded and fatigued with church altogether. We've sat through discussions in committee meetings. We've heard sermons. We've read news headlines about pastors who say despicable or unchristlike things, and we're worn and weary with it. For my part, I read about a lot of my own generation and the rise of the nuns. And there's a part of me that sometimes go, I understand. But regardless of where on that spectrum we are, we need to let ourselves hear God with fresh ears. We need to be willing to see what transition and change can look like in our local church and what does that look like for the church across the U.S. First, we listen and we try to listen with fresh ears. Then our second step is to go and seek wisdom from those who went before us. Samuel, despite having gone through Eli's less than stellar mentoring program, still goes to Eli. Even if Eli has some leadership flaws, he still has enough wisdom and experience to tell Samuel to listen up. He has enough discernment to know that God is the one speaking to his young pupil. It takes him 3 tries, but he figures it out. Sometimes it is those who have been in leadership for decades, as well as have the most checkered past, that might have some of the best insights for us. We need to ask questions of pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church janitors, and our spiritual grandmothers and fathers in our communities. We need to ask them questions like, I'm starting to see things this way, what do you think? Or, I had this idea while reading this passage, does that make sense? Or, I see this need in our community, do you see it too? We need to seek out that wisdom and ask, am I on the right trajectory or am I not? Eli knows that Samuel is the one who is going to be riding out the wave of whatever is coming next. And finally, Samuel responds, speak, Lord, your servant hears. That must be a terrifying moment to some extent. Eli tells Samuel, oh, that's God you're hearing. God is calling you. If you hear it again, identify yourself as God's servant. Don't just say, hey, God, it's me, Samuel. Tell God you want the job before you even know what the job is. It is a willingness to respond that ties it all together. All the open-minded listening and all the wisdom seeking does not matter if we do not respond and if we do not respond with the intent to serve. Now, what I've just said may sound like a message geared toward a younger crowd, say the college crowd that I often spend a lot of time working with, but I'm confident that this is one that applies to all of us who count ourselves as members of the body of Christ. I think Samuel's call, and better yet, the rest of Samuel's whole life story throughout the rest of 1 Samuel encourages us to trust that God in his mysterious wisdom and providence has brought us here to this moment in time, to this place, and in this space for the good works we have yet to realize and to grasp. We are here as individuals, we are here as a local faith community, and we are here as the broader global transcendent body of Christ, commissioned to go to the ends of the earth with his gospel. Regardless of our age, our background, and means, we are all in a place and time where God has joyful work for us. When we pursue our life and work prayerfully, and even sometimes when we don't, I am convinced that we are always exactly where God wants us to be. Because our story and our stories all have a Star Wars-esque opening crawl to them. God has started the story before we ever entered the scene. God has been doing the work before we ever entered the job site. We listen with fresh ears and seek wisdom of those who came before us so we can better grasp what God is doing. We are not in crisis because the Spirit of God is going ahead of us and stands beside us, and the Spirit of God will linger behind us. Because of this, I want to look at all that has come before me with joy, all things that are ahead of me with joy, and everything that's with me now with joy. I want to hold joy when I anticipate where we are going as a church. And like an 8-year-old boy in a movie theater seeing Star Wars for the first time, I want to be excited about that. I want to be excited knowing that I'm being invited into a story that may be unknown to me, but that I am called into it and that God is calling us into it. Because God is not sending us out as lone rangers to do the work by ourselves with limited radio contact. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Amen.